Undercurrents, coming to you with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Friends of Undercurrents. Thank you all for your support. Still ahead, Bobby McFerrin, Valerie June, and right now, The Kinks from a box set, Muswell Hillbillies, Everybody's in Show Business, Everybody's a Star. Whew, that's a mouthful. Here's Acute Schizophrenia Paranoia Blues, the 2022 mix.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
This is the battleground.
Hi, I'm Jeff Rosenberg. Tune in to the Song Circle every Friday afternoon at 1:30 p.m.
Turn their backs on the grisly scenes, traced to the privileged sons. And your death will come soon.
You never know what you'll hear next.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's board of directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/board recruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. We all have struggles, challenges we face, and there are global problems that affect us all. Yet, believe it or not, you can create a life that you love despite what's going on around you, according to the author we speak with today. Her teaching is that you are the energy master of your own life and have the power to improve your circumstances. Our guest today is Christy Whitman, author of the book, The Desire Factor: How to Embrace Your Materialistic Nature. Christy is a New York Times bestselling author and transformational leader. She has appeared on the Today Show, The Morning Show, TEDx, and the Hallmark Channel, and her work has been featured in numerous publications and magazines. Christy teaches the law of attraction, energy mastery, personal development classes, meditations, and private sessions to help clients feel more aligned with the divine design of well-being, abundance, and success. Hello, Christy, and welcome to the Pathway Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted.
Well, why don't we start by unpacking the subtitle of your book and asking you, what do you mean by our materialistic nature?
Well, it's embracing your materialistic nature so you can understand and tap into your full spiritual power. And why I say that is because, why that's the subtitle, is because many times we feel like I have a desire for something, but we judge ourselves or we hear others, or we may have been programmed to think that if I want that, that's bad, that's selfish, that's wrong, that's, you know. So we a lot of times deny our own desires because we have that, you know, the material world is bad, right? Or material things are bad, or we're shallow if we want those things. But the truth is that everything that is created, material and non-material, is energy. Everything here, it's a divine, yes, it's a divine experience. And you know, when we can embrace and understand that everything first, any form that has been created first must be energy. And what is energy? Energy is the divine, it's life force. And all life force, all energy creates something into form. So even something, whether it's a pair of golf clubs or a trip or, you know, a purse or whatever it may be, something that delights us and we enjoy having, we first created it with energy, which is spiritual.
You know, this kind of reminds me of the love languages idea, you know, the five love languages. And we've had Gary Chapman on the show quite a long time ago, but it, you know, in one of the five love languages is gifts. And it makes me, you know, and there are people who get turned on by being given a gift, receiving a gift. And usually what we do is we give people what we want to get in that, because that's what we value. Now for me, I don't care about gifts at all. You know, sort of like, I almost always re-gift. I almost always just pass it on because I don't want to accumulate any more material things. And so I'm just wondering, do you think everyone is a materialist? Are you making that assumption, or is it a spectrum? How does that work?
No, it's a spectrum. For you, it may not mean anything physical, but there is stuff that delights you and there is stuff that you desire to do, whether it's you're hungry and I desire to get up and make a sandwich so I can eat, right? It's desire moves us forward. So that's still a ham sandwich or a veggie sandwich or a tofu sandwich or whatever anybody wants to eat when they're hungry, or none of that and maybe something very different. That the to have I'm hungry and then the desire to go eat something, the eating, what we're eating is material. So is that, it is a material thing.
All right, yeah. And the way that you define that everything is energy, material things are just, you know, crystallized energy. I get it. It's just that you in several times or a few times in the book, you talk about purses or handbags and spa days. And so I think the book must be written primarily for women. But I think all books are written for women these days, right?
Pretty much, yeah. However, it's not just about, it's like those are things that I desire, but other people might, you know, what lights them up is doing absolutely nothing and watching a sunset, you know, and somebody else, it might be going roller skating. Somebody else, it might be starting a nonprofit. Somebody else, it might be doing a podcast. It might be creating service work. It's what right. lights us up and moves us forward. But, you know, when we're even showing up to do this conversation, have this conversation, we both had to do something in the physical world to get our physical bodies here. And then we got that exchange. And so we are physical, but we're also non-physical. So yes, for me, and it's interesting because it was a phase I was in that, ooh, that lit me up and that got me going. Now I'm on the other end of it where it's like, it's another purse, right? Because I went through that phase.
Right. That's what happened to me. Everything, you know, the law of impermanence sort of dictates that nothing's going to last forever, including that great feeling. So, but you say the pursuit of objects in and of itself is a spiritual thing. And I wondered about that, but I guess it depends on how you define spiritual and what is the relationship between desire and spirituality. You know, and as you also point out, here's a quote, the programming that desire is the root of all suffering or that material things are inherently bad stems from a belief that we lack the ability to attain those things. Okay, maybe it stems from the belief that getting attached to those things is going to create suffering.
That's exactly it, is that I need to have that in order to be happy. That type of, and if yeah. I don't have that thing, then I won't be happy. And then we get into this place where, you know, which is very universal grief, right? But it becomes something where we're so attached to the person, place, or thing that we start thinking about, oh my gosh, what if I don't have that person, place, or thing? And now we're almost grieving and they're still in our lives. We still have them. That creates that negative connection to emotions that just, you know, keep us out of alignment. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's, go ahead.
You know, it's interesting that we feel guilty about desire. And I think you're absolutely right. I know from my own life, I was made to feel selfish anytime I expressed a desire that was the slightest bit inconvenient for my parents. You know, and I can even remember once I told my father, I think I must have been 8 years old or something, and I said, Dad, I really want an electric train for Christmas. And his response was, it's good to want. That was the end of it. And that was sort of like the ethic of my, you know, poverty conscious family growing up. So I was made to feel guilty if I asked for anything. Yeah. And then, you know, then you come along with Buddhism, you know, which is sometimes translated that the second noble truth is that desire is the cause of suffering. But actually, that's a mistranslation. I'm a Buddhist to some extent.
It's the attachment. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the desire. We wouldn't go anywhere without desire. We wouldn't.
Exactly.
You know, it's not the desire. It's this emotional demand that we attach to. Yes. Oh, I've got to have, you know, Johnny's love in order to be happy or whatever it is we're telling ourselves.
That's exactly. So we're so attached to things outside of ourselves and won't allow ourselves to feel what we can feel now because we think, well, if I got that, then I'll feel. When the truth is that we can feel that. We can open up to that energy, that field, and then we create it. But we're in a third dimensional world, which is material. Right. And whether you think of it as like Madonna, I'm in a material, you know, this is a material world and I'm a material girl or boy. Right. It's everything we do has energy and then form, you know, to be able to have a phone conversation or a video conversation on a form, which is a computer, which, you know, so it depends on the attachment, the meaning that we make it, because that's just it, is that we can say, oh, you know, desire is bad because someone or us interpreted the meaning of if I have an abundance of, then that's bad. Then I'm being selfish. Then I'm being greedy, right?
Because there's not enough to go around.
Exactly.
You know, and in my family system, I was one of seven children. My parents, my father was one of 14 and my mother was one of 13 and there wasn't enough to go around.
Right.
So, you know, but I like what you say about each of us already has an energetic relationship with each of the things that we desire. And I want to get to that. But before I do, I'm reminded of a quote, which is, I think what your book is teaching and what you're teaching people is how to focus on what you want rather than focusing on what you don't want. And yes. It reminds me of a quote from Ken Kies in the Handbook to Higher Consciousness, where he says, most people would say, I don't know what I want, but I'm damn sure this isn't it. And I think it's just, we're so good at knowing what we don't want. And yes. There is some value in that. But what you're telling people to do is align with what you do want and focus on that. Is that a fair characterization?
That is exactly what I have been teaching for 23 years in all of my books and all of my coaching. It is the very basics of everything, because the minute I say to someone, okay, so, you know, what do you want? They go, well, I don't want to gain weight. I don't want to get a divorce. I don't, right? And you're right. That has value. It's a starting point. But if you keep focusing all of your energy and your consciousness, because our focus in our consciousness and with our consciousness creates, then we're going to create more of what we don't want. So ask yourself, what do I want? Why do I want it? And how do I want to feel? Because the why do I want it, you'll start thinking about, well, I want to feel secure, or I want to feel free. You'll start having more of those feeling, that essence, that energy word. And that then it's an understanding of, you don't have to go get the $1 million in order to feel secure. Feel secure, connect with that energy, with that state of being, with that quantum field. Of course, do the action, have yourself aligned with the vision, do all the seven steps, the seven principles. They all go in order. Alignment, yeah. You know, focus, joyful expectation, because our minds are, I mean, we're brilliant. We're not stupid. We could go, okay, I want this and I envision this, but then we're going to go, but I don't have it right now. I mean, we know that. Our minds go, see, we don't have it. I'm missing it.
But so somehow, yeah, are you telling people that they should fake themselves out and convince themselves that they do have it?
No. here's the difference. Here's the difference between fake it till you make it and imagine, because we get in trouble. And I think there's a lot in personal development where it's like, you know, fake it till you make it, act like you have that. And then people interpret it as, I'm going to go on that cruise, or I'm going to buy that thing. I'm going to buy those clothes. I'm going to fake it. They, from a materialistic place, I'm going to buy that purse. Here's the difference. So that I look good, or so that I'm loved or accepted, so I'm included, so that I belong, you know, right? That kind of thing. What we're talking about here is, do it because it feels good, in the sense that you feel guided to do it. You have this joyful expectation that even though it hasn't happened yet, you look forward to it happening, realizing that it's not going to not happen.
Do people ever fall prey to the pitfall of wishful thinking or magical thinking? I live in Maui half the year, and I tell you, it's the world center for magical thinking. There are people that are joyfully expectant, you know, for years on end. Is there a border or a boundary between wishful thinking?
That's why all of the steps, you don't want to get caught in any of the steps, because okay, it's right. Fluid like energy. So that joyful expectancy, it's like, okay, I'm here now, but I'm joyfully expecting that. And then you go into the feeling of, what is that going to feel like? It's going to feel like secure, free, you know, so you get into that quantum field. Now it's a principle of having it. So you feel as if you have it, and then you love it. So by loving it, like, I'm loving the feeling of being free, you're now in the present now moment, feeling the love energy, feeling fulfilled. You're not in lack of anything anymore. You're feeling good. Love is the, you know, highest vibration. It's a manifestation vibration. It's a connector vibration. It's a fulfillment vibration. So when you're like understanding that, oh, that feeling of security, I love feeling secure. Right now you're plugged in, and then anything that splits, any part of you that says, well, you don't have it yet, or how it's going to be too hard, or your type doesn't get it, you know, that's surrendering that to the higher, to the universe, you know, to that higher power. And that, so that you're open to hear the messages of, read this, go there, listen to this, do this, write this email, you know, call this person, or even just thinking about this person, and then they call you. So that's how we get into that working with the universe. It's, and then we take action. We have to take action. We are, that's part of where people think about wishful thinking and all that. It's like, we are a cooperative component, and we are the physical part to the non-physical. And that stream of consciousness partners with us to be able to experience.
You know,
sometimes go ahead.
I want to ask you about the phenomenon of longing. And, you know, in my life, I've been very successful in the world of business and on finance, but I've been horrible in the world of relationships. And so I've experienced a lot of longing in my life, longing for love. It goes back to my early childhood and a neglectful mother, et cetera. And I always thought, oh, longing, it just sucks. It's like, to me, the word is defined as unrequited. But there's another side to it, isn't there? Or is there? You tell me.
There always is. That's the thing, is that when you really start to understand energy and really start to understand the universal laws, one of the laws is the law of polarity. So if this exists, the opposite does too. So that longing feeling, it also has an opposite of where you're in just absolute fulfillment, right? It's like the feeling of, I am so hungry, I could eat just anything in my, I need to eat something, I'm so hungry, to, oh, I'm so full, right? It's like it's hot, cold, up, down, the polarity experiences, lack, abundance. And even that, that longing for something, that thirst, that hunger, that some might even call helplessness or desperation, or even those moments of, that is very universal, of grieving, where we feel like, what does it even matter? You know, just some of those, like, I give up, apathetic, you know,
right.
Mm-hmm. Moments, right? Where that, it requires a soothing, a self-soothing that a lot of us did not learn how to do, because we kept looking outside, longing for mom, longing for someone, you know, whether it was mom, dad, sister, brother, godmother, aunt, teacher, you know, lover, whoever it was or still is, we're reaching outside of ourselves for something to fulfill us.
And, or to rescue us.
Or rescue. Yes, that's the drama triangle. Something, you know, that's a fairy tale, right? Oh, the Prince Charming is going to come and save me from this. Right. You know, we even do that in our religions. You know, this figure that someday this Jesus Christ is going to come and save. Well, it's not someday. That Christ energy is available right now. You know, it's not this some guy on a white horse or some woman on a white, someone's going to come and make it all better. But that infant part of us, that younger wounded parts of us, if that's the part that's in lack, the higher adult, you know, healed part of us then gets to go, okay, that part of us, not all the parts of us, but that part needs, right, wants something.
I'm really happy to hear you use the parts language, because it basically highlights the truth of the matter, which is that nobody is perfectly manifesting all the time. Nobody is being, you know, positively attractive all the time. We have our moments, like you said. There's the moments of feeling despair or hopelessness or loneliness or whatever. And that I really got really a lot of help out of your book on this one thing that you wrote: quantum leaps in consciousness are often just not possible. We can't suddenly pivot from despair to joy, from hopelessness to confidence, or from lack to abundance on a dime. But if our aim is simply to return to a state of neutrality, we can gradually reverse unwanted momentum. Wow, I thought that was such practical advice. You know, because people get the idea, oh, well, I'm doing it wrong, and if I just say the right affirmation enough times, it's going to flip everything the way that I want. So
That is so frustrating to believe that, to know that, and then to feel work. I see it all the time. I've personally been through it. And then I also have coached a lot of people through it, where it's like, I'm doing everything. I'm doing the mantras and I'm doing the meditation and I'm doing the vision boards and, you know, I'm doing it all. But what's happening is it's like they're trying to fake it, but they're not really connected to it. They're in a place of still feeling despair and haven't truly released the energy that is the despair to bring them back to neutrality. To then, it's the law of sufficiency and abundance. It's like the doorway open to that. So get neutral and then. Yeah.
I wonder how often people have that type of experience, because they're basically desiring the wrong thing. In other words, they don't have really a true, it's not really a core desire. It's something that somebody told them they should want, you know, like to be a billionaire or to, you know, or become a lawyer or whatever. It's not like organically rooted. You use this expression in the book, a core desire. And you also mention how to bring to mind your unique desire factor. Can you speak to that, please?
Yeah, this everybody wants something different, you know? So our unique desire factor, it's like, why do we want this? What juices us? You know, what gets us going? That alignment, that connection. Because what you were just saying is so true, is that if I'm feeling desperate, alone, if I feel like I am trying to defend against being abandoned, which used to be my story, you know, then I'm trying to be something I'm not. I'm trying to please people and not be authentic, right? So my desire is I just want to belong. But once you are grounded and aligned with that feeling of I do belong, I'm plugged in, now it's a very different level of desire. And the desire is different for every single human being, right? You go through, like we were saying, you go through your own desires and your own desire factor, meaning what you what you truly do, really want, right? That changes from decade to decade. I mean, what I wanted in my 20s, it was different than my 30s, different than my 40s, different from now in my 50s, and probably if I make it 60s, 70s, and whenever. It changes. It's phases. It's, you know, but it's a part of all that collective creates my own unique desire factor. It's like your own energetic imprint. It's your own energetic connection. And it's how you express it in the world. But the beauty of it is that by learning this process, when something doesn't manifest, you don't beat yourself up. You don't turn it personally and take the beating stick on yourself and something must be wrong, because that's coming again from that lack, which never feels good. Lack always feels bad. But when you can come to that place of compassion and find neutrality with yourself, or even just that, okay, I'm all right, everything's okay, I'm gonna survive this. Like even just those moments of I'm gonna be fine, you know, or even just feeling that soothing, that compassion energy, then even staying there if you need to, but then allowing yourself to once again open up to desires, because it is desires that spark stuff, that give you that nothing's going on, and then you think of something you want to do, and maybe you want to go on the vacation, and you talk about it. That it's like that spark. It gets a fire going. It gets something moving. And without desires, you know,
I like what you have to say about that soothing stuff. You know, that's kind of like reparenting. You know, like in the internal family systems or the parts model, all the parts are children. That's your internal family, and we're just helping them grow up a little bit by parenting ourselves. Well, you know, unfortunately, we're just about out of time. Do you have any, we've got a minute, you know, can you give us some last words of advice for our, other than buying your book, which is the obvious advice, what would you suggest?
Well, the first thing is to understand that if you are in lack, you feel bad. So if, in other words, if you feel bad, then you're in lack, and lack will always bring you more of what you don't want. So allow yourself to find a better feeling thought, a thought that feels more neutral, like, okay, I'm okay here now, breathe in, you know, whatever that is to bring you into that place, because there are so many other variations of vibrations that are yet to discover and explore. And it makes it so much more fun.
Well, thank you, Christy. There's just so much more we could explore. I really enjoyed the book. I recommend it to our listeners here on Pathways, but we have run out of time for this conversation. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is www.christywhitman.com. Christy is spelled Christy Whitman, WITMAN.com, all one word. For those who may have tuned in to Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with author Christy Whitman, who wrote The Desire Factor, How to Embrace Your Materialistic Nature. And I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. Even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcasts. And thanks again to Christy Whitman and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
Check out Ear to the Streets of Portland with hosts Sequoina
and Kayla
every first and third Thursday of the month starting at 7 o'clock p.m.
Listen in as we interview community organizers, speak on issues